Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Jacob's Pillow in Beckett, Massachusetts is home to America's longest-running dance festival, is a National Historic Landmark, and is a recipient of the National Medal of Arts. On July 26th, a documentary film about Jacob's Pillow, Never Stand Still, will air nationally on PBS Great Performances. Director of the film Ron Hansa filmed interviews and performances at the Pillow over the course of several seasons. He joins us now to talk about the film. Ron Hansa, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well today.
Good. So you made a short in the 90s called The Men Who Danced, the story of Ted Shawn's male dancers, which is, of course, part of the information that is in Never Stand Still. Where did your interest in Jacob's Pillow begin?
Initially, I was on an assignment to do some coverage for for the United States Information Agency. Back in the day, they used to shoot a lot of cultural events. And I went up there to film a small segment of a dance company. And it's my first time there, and I was just immediately taken back by the level of art and dance and just the community that I was able to find up there.
And this film is, of course, premiering on Great Performances on July 26th on PBS nationally. Did you make the film for Great Performances, or do you make the film and then they get it from you and then air it on PBS?
It was a licensed situation. We did go to a cross-section of people like them for initial funding or interest in distribution. And although everyone was interested in the film, the usual response was, well, come back when you have a good movie and we'll take a look at it.
Uh-huh.
So this is a good ending because we, in fact, did find ways to get funding for the film, and it did take a little longer, and we did film over three seasons, and after about a year of editing, we completed the film, screened it, cross-section of festivals, won a couple awards, and got a lot of attention, and got a theatrical run, as well as the premiere on PBS.
And you have to cut the film down for the airing on PBS. Is that a difficult process?
It was a little challenging. It's always tough to cut something down when you think everything in it belongs in the film.
Of course.
The film has somewhat of a modular format, so there was some merit in our ability to cut it down without cutting whole segments or performers or artists out of the film. So I was very pleased we were able to retain all the original principal companies and dancers that are appear in the original.
I'm glad that you mentioned the format, because I did want to ask you about it. The sort of style of the film is a bit of history and then a conversation with a choreographer who is at the Pillow while you're at the Pillow, an interview with them, a little more history, back to another choreographer. I enjoyed that very much, rather than half history and then sort of a drop and then half what's going on there now. And I wondered how you came up with that style, how that occurred to you to mix them together that way.
Well, it was pretty intentional in that I felt there was clearly rich history or historically the significance of the place is just that. It's had a strong influence in the dance movement in this country and actually around the world. But I wanted to tell the story through the experiences and current activities of current choreographers and dancers, because the place is not a museum. It continues to live and influence and is equally important to the dance community today. So I felt if you were going to make a film about a place, you had to really zero in on the people who had historically performed and worked and created dance up there. And through their stories, and this cast of people were carefully selected to represent different aspects of what I felt the Jacob's Pillow story was. So it was, a parallel edit of getting pieces of the historical perspective in terms of its origin and its founding and its other activity that occurred up there as you met with contemporary artists and speaking about it today.
Tell us about some of the people that you speak to in the film.
Well, we were fortunate to get the opportunity to work with some really wonderful choreographers and dancers. First, I had to say we got Bill T. Jones to narrate the film for us, and it was just really my first choice, and it was so terrific that he, you know, did that and did such a great job for us.
He is, of course, a very famous, accomplished choreographer, and then has that glorious speaking voice. It's absolutely perfect as the narrator for the film.
Exactly. A quick story is I was driving home one night while we were still editing the film, and he happened to be on NPR, and I think there was a segment of a show where they invite artists on to spin or play some of their favorite music. It's totally just what they're personally interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was Bill T. Jones's night to, play all the kinds of different music influences, and his voice. I mean, I have heard him before, but all of a sudden it sold me. I said his voice was so terrific and had such a great, tonality to it. But in the film, we had the opportunity to work and interview, a real cross section of performers and choreographers. Some of which Merce Cunningham was still alive when we were still working on the film. So I interviewed one of the last interviews with Merce, which was very extraordinary, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have younger dancers like Rasta Thomas, who's a world-class dancer and still, doing amazing roles all every day. And he appears with his dance company, which was a new company, had just been launched. And so he kind of represented the younger side of the dance scene. But then we had Mark Morris and his company, and then we had the diversity of Bill Irwin and Paul Taylor Dance Company. Frederick Franklin appears in the film, giving us some very early stories of his first appearances and coming to Jacob's Pillow. And I bring him up because, unfortunately, Frederick, we just lost him. He passed only a month or so ago and lived to be about 90, and don't quote me on this, but late 90s, and was dancing the day we did the interview. He was off to a performance at ABT, so extraordinary career. So there's great personalities in the film and people who really share their love of their art, and I think my interest in the film was to represent a film that was more accessible to an audience that it appreciated the arts, appreciated performance, but maybe didn't know much about dance.
There is, I imagine, a challenge in shooting dance for film. How did you approach that aspect of the movie?
Well, there's a lot of things to think through when you approach dance, and clearly, in our case, some of the issues that were important to me were the performances were being filmed in the Ted Shawn Theater, which is the main venue at Jacob's Pillow, and it's an old barn, and it has a unique intimacy of the audience to the stage. And I wanted to film all the performances live with an audience. I wanted the sensibility of being in this old place, this beautiful barn that's been renovated for dance. And I think we accomplished that. So I think there's a intimacy that comes off or out of the experience of seeing people get, whether filmed or seeing them live in the theater, that's quite unique. So we mic'd the theater so we had the audience sense of not only applause, but you can kind of hear them gasp and Ian all as the performers did this extraordinary work. That was one concern. Mm-hmm. And the other concern was multi-cameras. The challenge of shooting with a live audience is invariably you're going to interrupt somebody with a sight line and a problem. And so we had to be careful not to disrupt too many people. And yet I needed my cameras where I needed them. And so we compromised a lot. In some cases, I had to wait for a certain performance to shoot an angle I needed. So I did shoot multiple. I shot the same performance more than once from different angles, although we did use multiple cameras whenever we could, if that helps you. That's how we kind of went about it.
While you were filming, what event or aspect of the experience surprised you most?
I think the generosity of the choreographers and the dancers who gave their time and their interest in being in the film. And I think it speaks very highly to the profession and the dance community. I think dancers are extremely talented, obviously, but you know they're smart as well as athletic. I think they represent artists who are really articulate about their work and what they do, and I think that's what comes across in Never Stand Still.
Dancing at Jacob's Pillow, Never Stand Still, premieres on PBS Great Performances this Friday, July 26th. To learn more about the film, visit firstrunfeatures.com/neverstandstill. Jacob's Pillow's 81st season continues in Beckett, Massachusetts through August 25th. To learn about upcoming performances, visit jacobspillow.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.